sermon reading comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. Then there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and the actions that the other religious leaders. He was formed in the town of Arimathea in Judea. He was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on a Friday afternoon, the day of preparation as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the woman from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as required by the law.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again."
Well, it's not too hard to really see what the object of our service this morning is about. It's kind of prescribed really by the fact that we come together on Easter Sunday morning, because we celebrate the risen Lord. It's a sense in which that is why we gather each Sunday. We do so in remembrance that it was on the first day of the week that our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. But to try and put our minds into that situation, that first Easter Sunday where heartbroken people go to a place of burial, imagining that they are going to do the last loving gesture that they can ever make for someone who they had only known for a few years, yet had totally transformed their lives. So they go to the tomb early with spices prepared to prepare the body of the Lord Jesus for its final burial. And they find the stone has been rolled away. And they see the angels and they hear this message: "He is not here, he has risen." It took pretty much a day for that message to begin to make its way out through Jerusalem. And as we gather this evening for our service of Easter praise, we'll be thinking about the way that that message was encountered by two as they walked along the road to Emmaus. But here this morning, just in these final moments of our time together in this service, think for a moment of what that message meant. Think, for instance, of what it means for us. And for the Lord Jesus, what it meant for him was death no longer had its hold upon him. He had died and he was raised, and he is alive forevermore. But the reality, friends, is that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, though historic fact it is, and truth that cannot be changed, is not simply about Jesus, because the implication of his resurrection is for each and every one of us. Because the Bible spells out so clearly that as Jesus was raised from the dead, he was the first, but he was not the only. Because the Bible is quite clear that those whose faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus as their Savior share in his resurrection. You and I have a share in that. You know, the only share, the only contribution that we made to the Lord Jesus' crucifixion was our sin, our need of a Savior. And he bore our sins upon the tree. But when he was raised, the Bible tells us so clearly, we are raised with him. You know, as we bring our worship to a close this morning, we are going to sing a wonderful Easter hymn. An Easter hymn written quite recently by the Gettys. And forgive me this morning, we have read the scriptures. We have looked at the scriptures not only in Luke's gospel, but in Romans. But I want to hang these closing thoughts really upon the words of that hymn that we're going to bring our praise to a conclusion with. Where we're saying, and we are raised with him. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. Death is dead. Had the Lord Jesus Christ's body still been in that tomb, dead would be dead. But death has died. Because one who was dead is alive and is alive forevermore. One of the greatest fears that seems to run through all of human civilization is a fear of death and a mystery of what comes after death. And many civilizations have tried in various ways, as it were, to prepare for the afterlife, not knowing really what that afterlife might entail. The Christian faith stands against all of that because it says the afterlife for the believer is real life. That same real life that Jesus himself had when he was raised from the dead. Friends, there is no doubt whatsoever. Nobody survived crucifixion. Go back through history and you'll find that occasionally there are people who have survived various other forms of execution. No one survived crucifixion. The Romans were too good at what they did. And even if after hours of hanging a cross hadn't brought death to the victim, then their life would be ended with a spear. And just to prove that Jesus really was dead, that's what the Romans did. Although he already was. He hadn't died when his life drained from him. He died when he offered up his spirit, knowing that he had done everything the Father had brought him to do. It is finished, he said. Not just, it's finished. Not just, I'm finished. It is finished. Complete, paid in full. Death is dead. Because the tomb is empty. The one who died is now alive. Furthermore, love has won. This is love, says the Bible. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That was God's love for us. So many of us know that little verse off by heart in John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. He gave his only Son that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. This is about love. And love has won. You know, if Jesus had remained in that tomb, all that we would have seen on Calvary was a beautiful but ultimately pointless gesture. If Jesus going to the cross was simply to demonstrate God's love and that's all there was to it, then yes, what a demonstration of love and self-giving. But if Jesus was still dead, then it was simply that. It was only a demonstration. But Jesus' death was so much more. Jesus' death was an atoning sacrifice that paid the price of all the sins of all his people. That's what he had come to do. Even before he was born, when the angel said to Joseph, "You'll call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins." And there on Calvary's cross, Jesus did exactly that. For you, for me, for everyone who believes in Him. But not only has love won, Christ has conquered. You know, there's an amazing scene in Revelation 5. Revelation is that book that to many it's such a mystery, it remains a closed book. But it needn't be, as I've often said to folks here, it needn't be a closed book, it needn't be a mystery if you keep your eye on one thing the whole way through it. Keep your eye on the Lamb. Keep your eye on the Lamb. Because there's one author of a past generation titled his commentary, his book seeking to open up and explain the book of Revelation. He titled that book with three simple words: The Lamb Wins. The Lamb Wins. And there in Revelation chapter 5, John tells us of how he heard this voice saying, "Look, the Lion of Judah has triumphed." And I can imagine John turns around expecting to see the Lion of Judah. And what does he see? He sees a lamb upon a throne with all the appearance of a lamb that has been offered as a sacrifice. But friends, that lamb upon the throne is not simply laid there as a dead lamb. That Lamb is the ruling Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has conquered. He has conquered death. And the wonderful reality, when we realize that death is dead, for death died in the death of Jesus. And life is ours in His resurrection. Love has won. That plan of love that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit from all eternity had in place to bring redemption at just the right time for us was fulfilled in Jesus. Love is won. And Christ is on the throne. He has conquered. And we shall reign with Him. He is reigning on that throne. He is Lord of all. Lord of all creation. Again, others have heard me use this illustration. A man called Abraham Kuyper, a very godly man who for many years served as the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, is famous for a statement in which he said, "There is not one inch in all of creation upon which Christ has not placed his finger and said, 'Mine, mine.'" He reigns over all. Yet the amazing reality is the Bible tells us that those of us who have died with Him through faith in His death and raised with Him through trusting in His resurrection know that we will live with Him and reign with Him. Because He's risen from the dead. You know, this evening we'll sing one of those great Easter hymns, "We Serve a Risen Savior." He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. He lives. He lives. But can I ask you the question this morning, friends, with which I close? Can we truly say in that song, "He lives within my heart"? Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Have we come and put our trust in Him, not only trusting that His death paid the price for our sins, but trusting that through believing in Him, we are forgiven, and we have life through Him, and knowing that on that day when Christ shall return, we will be raised and be changed in a moment, and we'll be like Him. Imagine what that'll be like. No more sin. No more pain. No more tears. But only joy. Joy. Unspeakable, immeasurable joy forevermore in the presence of our Savior. That is the glorious hope of those whose life and hope and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall reign with Him. But it begs this closing question. If we will one day reign with Him, is He reigning now? Is He reigning in our hearts? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns from that throne in heaven, is a God who also calls us to allow Him to reign in our hearts, to be the Lord of our life, to direct our lives, so that our lives are no longer us-focused, but Christ-focused. So that our lives are no longer about me, but about Him. And that joy, friends, is so often summed up in just a little acronym which says, it's about putting Jesus first, and putting yourself last, and putting others in between. Because we go out into a world today. We go out into a world today that knows nothing of the joy of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that joy, then take it and share it. Friends, if you this morning do not know that joy, then let me say to you, you can find it. You can find it in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death, the one who lives, and the one who reigns. May this Easter Sunday morning, the risen Lord Jesus Christ not only be reigning in heaven, but be He reigning in our hearts and in our lives for His glory.